Welcome back to Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up on December 9th, the movie Office Christmas Party hits theaters nationwide. It's a comedy about a Chicago office that needs to throw the best Christmas party ever in order to land the huge client, stay in business. The movie stars Jennifer Aniston, Jason Bateman, T.J. Miller, and Kate McKinnon, along with a who's who of great comedic talent rounding out the cast. And it's directed by Josh Gordon and Will Speck. This is the duo's third feature film, their first being Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell and John Hader. Josh Gordon and Will Speck are in studio with me tonight at the big table. Guys, thanks for being here. It's appreciated.
Thanks for having us.
So let's talk about, you directed this film. What drew you to this script? What was it about this project that you guys wanted to get involved in?
I think we were frustrated by reading so many scripts that we didn't respond to and felt like, there were a lot of comedy scripts that we were reading that were built on contrivances, He has to hire him to get her to like him, things like that. And I feel like we wanted to find something that was a relatable experience that everyone sort of had an into. And we were batting around ideas with our manager, Guyman Cassidy, and it came to us the idea of an office Christmas party and that it is a shared common experience that either somebody has experienced firsthand or somebody who's experienced it. And it just felt like a very dramatic and funny, context for doing an all-night movie. So that was what the origin was.
To be able to play on the idea of the Christmas party, there is this concept of it being a place that is almost has been taken away, like the concept of, office Christmas party has got to be so
really
PC.
Safe over the years, simply because they're so dangerous. Whenever you get that many people together, and get them drunk, dangerous things can happen. And I think the powers that be, probably wisely have sort of to tamp them down over the years. And I think this was kind of a call to arms back to those days when you could humiliate yourself and still show up to work
still
the next day.
I mentioned you do Blades of Glory. Comedy is, The Switch had dramatic elements in it, but talk about what keeps bringing you back to doing comedies.
I think
we're incredibly funny.
Exactly. Because we're so funny. I think it's just how we approach our own lives. I think we can always find sort of something funny, that comes out of everyday circumstance. And, I think that's just always our angle on things. I think, life is hard and varied. And I think, if you can sort of keep your sense of humor intact, I think it's an important thing to do. So I think the stories, no matter how big or small, I think for us, whether it's Ice Skaters, which is way over the top, or romantic comedy from a male point of view, which was The Switch, to this movie, I think, always finding sort of the truth and weaving within that the comedy context is something that is very appealing to us.
You shot this in Chicago, some of it in Chicago. Talk about why make it a Chicago office. What was it about the experience that...
Well, Will and I, had kind of bonded in film school over a lot of the same movies, and a lot of them were set in Chicago. Risky Business is one of our favorite movies.
They must have had a huge 80s tax credit.
Because,
all the movies we loved,
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and Blues Brothers, all the sort of early Landis stuff. There was sort of a grit and a kind of attitude to the comedy of those movies that appealed to us. And, it's a hugely cinematic city. It's really beautiful on film. And we also just kind of wanted a little bit of an underdog office, but a big office in a big underdog city. And to us, Chicago has always had a little bit of that underdog, so there's something appealing. And it was a struggle financially to be able to shoot it here. But the studio recognized that it was important. And we got
Was it difficult because Chicago, because of tax credits?
Well, just because there's places now that are so much cheaper to shoot that it's hard,
They're like, call it Chicago, go to Albuquerque,
Exactly. Go to Romania.
Romania and Chicago, right. We're talking with Josh Gordon and Will Speck in studio. They're the directors of Office Christmas Party. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. I want to talk to you guys about your career because, as you just mentioned, you met in film school. And you guys have had a long, strange trip to where you guys are to be the IT directors right now in Hollywood. It didn't start that way. So we'll talk to you guys a little bit about that coming up here after the break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, the directors of Office Christmas Party, which opens on December 9th. Are in studios with me, Josh Gordon and Will Speck. All right, guys, the story goes you guys met in film school. And a lot of, obviously working at NYU or going to school there, and there's a lot of filmmakers that are going to meet at that point. But what is it about your relationship that kept you guys working together?
I think what happens, at NYU is that your first year you get put into kind of a level one film class, and they assign you crews. And I think Josh and I are just so well behaved that when they assigned us a crew that we were in together, we sort of – we haven't been unassigned, so we just kind of stuck with it. But I think what happened was we were doing separate films in film school, and we kept trading ideas with each other. And we kept sort of saying, hey, will you take a look at this script? Will you polish this joke? You know, will you look at a cut of what I've done? And what we realized is we had a very similar sensibility and sort of take on the world. And I think it just felt like, you know, two is better than one. And I think, you know, filmmaking can be really lonely. You know, there's a lot of accessibility to it now, more so than when we started because we didn't have iPhones. But I think, you know, having somebody that you feel like you can trust in any situation was really important to us. And
it was kind of a – it was not a normal thing unless you were brothers at that time to start to do it. But we came up right when we graduated and started doing commercials together. And in the commercial industry, director teams are more accepted. And so we kind of professionalized ourselves, cut our teeth in that realm. And by the time it came – time to do a movie, we sort of had it well oiled.
Well, you mentioned the idea of it being the lonely profession, the idea of being the director. I mean, you're working in ensemble, but there's usually just a solo director.
Yeah.
You know, beyond just the fact of being able to bounce ideas off each other, what are the positive attributes of being a team as opposed to just
you always
one?
Have somebody to agree with you against people if you need it, you know?
And I mean, there's a lot to manage on a set, specifically. You know, with studio movies, you know, you're dealing with the studio, you're dealing with the actors, you're dealing with the crew, you're dealing with schedule, you're dealing with, you know, and it's not that that's something that a lot of directors do on their own, but there's something about being able to feel like one person can be, you know, with the DP setting up a shot, the other person can be deep diving into the script with the crew that, you know, just works really well for
us. We're able to kind of give every department more focus, you know, and because we pretty much agree. I mean, we fight sometimes, but we pretty much agree on everything. We know that the other one always has our back, so it's good.
I mean, it's not unheard of in Hollywood because writing partners are a big thing, the idea of duos putting scripts together. So, but how has Hollywood dealt with the fact that it's two of you? I mean, like,
well, we started as writers together out of school. I mean, we wrote and directed a few short films together, and then our first thing before directing was we were hired by a couple studios to do some screenplays and to do a TV show. And so it is common to come up as writers, as teams, and let that transition you into directing. But, you know, I think, again, like Josh said, they are usually brothers like the Russos and, you know.
Wachowskis.
The Wachowskis. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sisters. it's become more and more common, but we feel like we were slightly trailblazing the non-brother.
You know, for anyone listening out there who may know filmmaking, love what they see on film, but not really understand, you know, the behind the scenes, when we talk about directing, directing film, and the two of you together, I mean, what is the sole purpose of a director when putting a film together?
I think if we told you that, it would be a little bit of a
problem.
Then
there would be too many people coming in and competing with us.
Just know it's very difficult and it takes
it's nearly impossible to get into. No, directors, the main job of a director is to kind of hold this sounds pretentious, but the vision or the tone of the movie, because there's 1,000 choices that get made every day, and any one of them could be wrong, you know, the wrong actor or the wrong. And so what you always have to do as a director or directors is kind of remember why you wanted to do it in the first place, remember what's most important to you, and make your decisions in a way that doesn't compromise those.
Yeah.
And you're kind of the only person on the set that's empowered to do that. So it seems like you can kind of get away with not doing a lot because really you don't do anything, but you also do everything. It's a weird job.
I would assume that's where that's challenged is when you have such a tremendous talented cast like you do here with a lot of improvisational skills, TJ Miller, and I mentioned, you know, not only Kate McKinnon and some people from SNL, but you've got great actors and Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman. But talk about that. I mean, because they go off in one area or they're doing something that might actually go against the tone that you guys are trying to
I mean, there. They're a team and you're a coach, right? So it's like you don't want to stand in the way of when they step up to bat and they're going to swing. Do you know what I mean? But you want to make sure that you're going to place them at the right point, you know, to make sure that they actually land on the right base. You know, I think we want to, you know, casting is a big part of direction. And so that's where the real decisions, as Josh was saying, come in for us. And, you know, we've been on both sides of it. We've made great decisions that we saw all the way through. And in the past, we've made decisions where we've questioned why we did that and had to sort of on our feet shift the role or shift the idea of what we wanted for that part. And I think, you know, once you sort of get your ensemble intact. And here, because we've made three movies, we really went after our first choices that we knew, mm-hmm. you know, we could sort of back from the beginning to the end. And we weren't disappointed, which was amazing and a miracle. I think once that happened, you know, we were there just to support them and to make sure that they were not only following the script and story, but that we were helping them get the best out of them, and they were helping us get the best out of us. So it's a good exchange.
Yeah, and I wonder, I mean, for you guys, you've worked with some of the actors in the movie before. I mean, how important is it for you to have personal experience with the actors when making a decision?
I mean, it always helps. I mean, we'd worked with, obviously, Jen and Jason. We'd worked with Rob Corddry. We'd actually worked with T.J. Miller on a commercial campaign about 4 years ago, 3 years ago. And it helps because there's trust, and trust is the currency that matters most on a set. You know, if the actors trust you and they feel like you're going to protect them, they're willing to go for things more, and that's mm-hmm. always what you want. So it helps. But then it also kind of creates an energy that the new people are coming into, you know. So
it was a little bit like there were times that it felt like Jason, because we'd worked with him in specific scenes, and even TJ, we have to say, like, and Jen, it's sort of like we had our core, and then people would sort of float into that. So it sort of helped keep a very centered feeling on set.
And you mentioned that one of the most important things about a director is the cast. When you are casting new talent, people you haven't worked with before, is there a research process that goes into it? Do you start yeah. looking at the work they've done, or is it essentially on audition?
I mean, you know, there's people that we sort of, you know, we've had big gaps in between our movies, and I think during that time, you know, we've done other things, you know, television and commercial stuff, but I think we've also collected actors that we've always wanted to work with. And I think, you know, the second that Kate McKinnon had her first season, Josh and I would come in on Monday and say, oh my God, did you see SNL last week? She's amazing. And, you know,
we kind of benefited from this new generation of people coming up.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it just depends. You know, there's some that you sort of look at from afar and kind of always want to work with, and then there's others that come into an audition room, like Karin Soni, who is amazing, you know, who plays Nate, who we'd seen in Deadpool, and we'd seen on a show called Betas, which was a small sort of Amazon pilot years ago, and said, that guy's amazing, we should use him once for something. And then we just remembered it and sort of had forgotten, and then he came in and auditioned and knocked it out of the park. And then there's somebody, you know, like Fortune Femster, who plays an Uber driver in one scene, it's her first movie, and knocks it out of the park. And she was somebody that I can't even remember who said, hey, take a look at this, you know, incredible stand-up.
And but we that was like – that was a chance, because this is her first movie. Mm-hmm. And when she finished the scene, it's a scene with Jen Aniston, and everybody was floored. And you felt like you were watching the next comedy superstar introduce herself. And that's where you go, wow, I'm glad we took that chance.
So I think it can come at you many different ways. But I think, you know, there's the traditional process of – an actor reading a script out loud in a room and you watching them do that. But for the most part, especially with this kind of caliber cast, you're making yeah. offers.
We also like to get paid under the table.
Yeah,
to
cast exactly. people. Sure. Are you guys, as directors, as a team, are you risk averse? Are you find yourself being riskier?
We're incredibly brave yeah. as directors.
No, I think for the most part, I think we're getting riskier in a good way.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. Our first movie, we took big risks.
Yeah, I think you have to, if you're not a little, this sounds like whatever, but if you're not a little scared with some of the choices you're making, you end up at the end of it kind of going, why did we do that?
Right.
It wasn't worth it, you know?
How much for you guys, when you're on a set, when Office Christmas Party is shooting, do you rely on actors to be able to take the script and take your direction and kind of go with it wherever it goes, to use those skills?
We try to create obviously, this was a really well-oiled script, and we had, you know, a lot of really talented writers on it, and then we also had a great on-set writer. But we try to, from the beginning, create an environment where you don't want to just cast these people and then make them read the same joke three times. And so you want to create an environment where people mm-hmm. are trying to plus it and trying to
be involved.
And I think
leading up to the movie, what happens is, you know, that feels familiar to us but may not be for people that are listening, is that you sit down, like any relationship with an actor, and you sort of say, well, here's what it is. They've usually read the script and they say, well, what if? And then that, you know, can be anything from, what if I just change this one line, to what if, you know, Kate McKinnon said, what if I collect rare and exotic birds? And the reason that I'm so obsessive about being an HR person who follows the rules is that I don't want to lose my job because I'm supporting those birds.
And you know, Rob Corddry wanting to be this sort of, you know, anarchistic kind of you know, Molotov cocktail kind of throwing character really developed during.
Yeah, so usually you have those kind of sessions and then you say, okay, great, I love this or we don't love this. Let us go back and sort of sit with our writer and try to put it into the script and see if it takes. And sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. But on this one, we were really lucky because everybody, you know, from top to bottom had great contributions to make to their roles. And for the most part, it made it into the movie. So there's a risk in that, but hopefully with great reward.
Yeah, you get the studio telling you, like, stop working on the script. We're done. It's good enough.
Yeah, right. Will Speck, Josh Gordon, the directors of Office Christmas Party, which hits theaters on December 9th. We'll take a quick break. We'll get an update on the news. And let's talk more about the relationship with the studio and your career. Because, you know, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, you guys have done commercial work. And making that transition to film, we'll talk about that coming up after the news here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720. WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Josh Gordon, Will Speck. They are the directors of Office Christmas Party, which opens December 9th nationwide. It's fun because you guys have sort of hailed this as the biggest comedy of the Christmas season.
Yes.
And I thought about that. I'm like, well, that's a good I'm not sure how many comedies are coming out this season.
There's a couple.
But we're the biggest.
But you're the biggest, right.
In our minds.
You guys, obviously, with a huge hit with Blades of Glory. I mean, that movie was great. And it continues to be a pop culture standby. I mean, even being, you know, sampled in rap music, which is tremendous. But, I mean, talk about making that transition. As I mentioned before the news, you guys started in commercial work. And that's not necessarily the way that it works, where you do commercials and they're like, hey, you guys can now do films. A lot of times, those are separate industries.
Yeah.
So talk about how that happened.
I think because we sort of started right out of film school with short films and writing things, I think our commercial work reflected a kind of a unique moment in the commercial industry, which was the beginning of the dot-com era. And it was really sort of the weirder, the more off, the more character-based, the more funny, the better. And so we actually felt like the campaigns that we worked on, like all of the early Geico work that we created, you know, we created the Gecko, we created the Cavemen with, you know, the Martin Agency on that. You know, they were like doing short films. So in a way, it wasn't like people holding up toothpaste and sort of smiling at the camera. I mean, we probably passed on a bunch of that stuff, regrettably. But
yeah, could have bought another house.
Exactly. But the
thing about it at that time was that the TV business was not in great shape back then, and the film industry was still doing well, but there was sort of a new generation, oddly, of comedy that came up in the commercial space, where sometimes the commercials would be better than the show you were watching.
Right.
And so we were lucky. We came up at the right time. Like
so I think the transition was obviously overwhelming because suddenly, instead of working with, you know, commercial actors, we were working with movie stars. Instead of working with ad agencies and clients, we were working with, you know, film studios and financiers. But I think that really prepped us because, you know, when you're on a commercial set, you're not alone. You know, you're surrounded by people who have expectations and you have to answer questions. And they say, well, when he's holding the Coke bottle, because we did do some of those, you know, can you make sure he really seems like he's enjoying it? And you're sort of trying to talk them out of why that would be a terrible idea. So I think, you know, we had our sort of game down a little bit in navigating in a corporate space.
And the day-to-day working of a set, which is what most directors find overwhelming,
exactly,
we've been doing for years.
Yeah, you
and
knew it,
probably
right.
In a lot of ways, you know, when you're the director, you're sometimes the least experienced person on the set. The grips and the people, they work every day.
Right.
You're lucky if you get to make one or two movies. So
we had not a lot of on-set experience. I think the thing that was different for us was just working with a great level of talent in terms of the actors, because
which in some ways is like, you know, driving a Bentley suddenly.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like it's you think on the first day that you're going to be giving them line readings and really trying to sort of coach them into something, and then
like, wow, that was really good.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Well, hold the Coke bottle a little higher. Yeah,
it's like Will Ferrell good. Weird.
Yeah, that's almost like really good.
Well, I mean, the relationships are a big. I was reading an article about how you talked about the difference between the relationship agencies in commercial shoots have your back in the way that they're dealing with it. But when you get to features, it's different.
Yeah, it definitely gave us respect for what ad agencies go through, because you, as a person at an agency, you spend 6 months, sometimes upwards of a year, convincing a client who's the person with money to go with your idea. And that's kind of what you do as people trying to get a movie made.
And that's what you guys have to do now.
Yeah.
That's the difference,
so
right?
So we just suddenly had to do it without the agency.
Do you like that kind of work? I mean, there's a salesmanship thing to your business now, being directors in Hollywood.
I think we've been really lucky because I think we had a lot of success right out of the gate in the commercial space because of that unique time and our voice synced up with it. And I think we've been able to do and still do work that is unique to our voice. And in that way, we really love it because people will come to us with very specific projects and are interested in our sensibility. Mm-hmm. They're interested in not having us fit into a tiny box, but saying, what would you guys do with this? Well, how would this be in your voice? And it's a great break and a great way just to sort of, you know, explore different crews and go different places around the world and, you know, experience what it's like to do that. But I think...
But it is a skill that you kind of have to have, which is the sort of salesman. You know, do we like it? I don't know if we like it. It's just one of those things where if you don't learn how to do it, you're just not going to get to make
it. I mean, it's still a business. I mean, Hollywood is still a business that is based on relationships where you go in and you sell your idea to a person. I mean, and that person goes, I really like that. I mean, that's not necessarily where you see a lot of other industries go. They've figured out ways to computerize
it. It's not like Washington, D.C. or Wall Street, where a small group of people control everything and through cronyism or friendship. You're right. But it is this, movies, any movie can sink a studio if it's bad enough. Any movie can damage somebody's, career. And so what people look for is some kind of assurance that you're not going to hurt them. And so I think, trust and friendship, that's why it is a business like that, because there's so much on the line. I think it does come down to trust.
Well, I mean, that's a big part. As we're talking with Josh Gordon, Will Speck, the directors of Office Christmas Party, which is out on the 9th of December. We've had people in studio, and we've talked about that Hollywood has really become sort of a place that doesn't have as much interest in risk, meaning you're going to go with superhero movies and you're going to go with tried and true stuff, to remakes, things that are either big money, way big money, or I would say middle of the road, meaning they're not doing independent, they're not taking risks on
the middle
on
class scripts. Of movies has gone away.
And for you guys, I mean, Office Christmas Party, in a way, is that middle class movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're right in that
comedy
space.
Comedy is in a weird space right now, and it's during sort of about 5 or 6 years ago, during the kind of the Judd Apatow rise, in a great way, that created a lot of opportunity for comedy, because I think there were, it was a very top-heavy kind of genre, and what Judd said, Seth Rogen can be a movie star, and what about Jason Segel, and what if Jonah Hill looks like this but can, be the lead in Superbad? And I think it really energized and revitalized comedy in a really exciting way, and people came out of that like Nick Stoller and Paul Feig and other great filmmakers. And that was a very vital time. And I think, like Josh said, in both a great way and in a way that's a little bit troubling, television has gotten so good. And there's so much artistic freedom right now in Netflix and in Amazon and in Hulu and in those spaces that I feel like that's where a lot of the energy, especially with great comedic voices, is going, because there's just you don't have to deal with.
Does the film industry, you have a choice to either go into television and follow that, or do you adapt? Do you see the industry adapting?
It's not a stigma anymore. It's a fluid system. I think the reason why people are doing so much television now is because they're so much riskier in those spaces, because they need to build their libraries and they're interested in those voices. Mm-hmm. I think, there's not as many comedies right now getting made at the studio level. There's big tentpole movies, and then there's prestige movies that are usually around the time of year that we're releasing our comedy in.
This sounds like a plug, though, but DreamWorks is currently run by a studio chief who came out of television and I think came out of a culture of risk taking.
Yeah.
And I think we benefited from that, because he was he sort of picked this project up and said, this is something we're interested in, and let's make it in the way that we wanted to make it, which didn't have, massive, massive, massive movie star at the top of it. It had a sort of democratic group of very talented, very funny people.
Yeah.
Arguably, there are some big movie stars in it, but we were able to make a movie the way we wanted it and get Sam Richardson and get T.J. Miller and get all these people in it who were just funny.
Well, that's the beauty of the cast. I mean, you could tell you did your research on the people that you bring in the ensemble, because they're the names right now that everybody wants to work with.
Yeah.
But you have movie stars at the top. I mean, you have Jen Aniston and Jason Bateman.
But it's a great thing, because it is a big movie. I mean, it was
But if you think about where we're drawing from in a great way, we're drawing from television ultimately. We're drawing from the star of Silicon Valley, which is a great comedy thing in a comedy space that's TV. We're drawing from Sam Richardson You know, and Matt Walsh from Veep, you know, which is a great comedy. You know, whereas a few years ago, you know, that would have been different actors. And they all do movies as well. But, you know, TV, again, in the comedy space, there's no stigma. It's not three-camera sitcoms that are cheesy.
It's accelerating this, like, new crop of talent where you're like, oh, I love that person. Oh, I love that person.
And in that way, that's a very optimistic thing. You know, and hopefully if movies like ours, you know, find an audience, it just reiterates the fact that there's a real fluidity to television and movies, and that talent can
translate.
And
one can actually water the other. You know?
For you guys to be a duo, to be a director combination, when you're doing the press now for this movie, it's about to come out.
Yeah.
Are you the kind of directors who already are working on the next project, thinking about, are you completing this one? How does it work for you two?
You know,
we're
starting to sort of come out of the shell of this movie, but, you know, it's been Christmas
like
for us.
Like coming out of a party the morning after and thinking about what job are we going to get after we got fired?
What's for breakfast?
We have to do something else. This came together very fast and furious. We started shooting it in April, and that's fast
to get a movie out
in December.
Yeah.
And so we have been really up against it, but we have a few things up our sleeve.
Do you, because of your commercial background, do you find yourself being more efficient in that way? I mean, you know what you need to get because you're on deadlines that way
It's definitely made us...
you could do fast movies like this.
Yeah, it doesn't daunt us because you can make, you know, you make a commercial in a month.
Right.
And so we've always found that the timelines in the film business actually are glacial. We're like, really? We could come on. Let's get a camera. We can do this next week. You know, so it doesn't daunt us very much.
Josh Gordon and Will Speck, the directors of Office Christmas Party, which hits theaters nationwide on December 9th.
Go with your friends.
Bring
your offices.
Bring your offices or bring your buddies or bring your coworkers. It's a great movie to see in a group. We really mean that. That's why we made it, is to sort of feel like you're not just sitting alone in the theater, but you can have a good time with whoever you go with. So.
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you guys, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
It, man.
Okay. Take care. Thanks.